All right, we'll continue our study in fruit bearing for God. And we're in the passage of John 15, 1 through 10. John 15, 1 through 10. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, two chapters previous to this passage, the Apostle John recorded the strong and very pointed words of Jesus Christ regarding the subject of fellowship between himself and his disciples. Now I go back to this passage. I open this passage for this lesson with this instruction because I believe the passage in John 15 continues this theme of fellowship with great emphasis by Christ on the consequences of neglect in this all-important relationship. Jesus Christ is bringing forth the consequences of neglect of the fellowship between himself and his disciples. Now in John 13, we are told that our Lord rose from supper. Remember, they were having supper together. And our Lord rose from supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel to gird himself. He poured water in a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, it was not unheard of to have feet washed when you came into the house. And it was done by a servant. But our Lord himself girded himself, poured water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, no doubt that astonishment was displayed. You would have been astonished also, but there was astonishment displayed by his disciples, and they said nothing until Peter voiced his concern. Peter was obviously taken aback by such an unusual thing, and he questioned Jesus by saying, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now Jesus immediately replied to Peter, and he said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now Jesus is saying here, trust me, Peter, for this is how you are to live hereafter, for a life walked by faith is a life of trust in my knowledge. Now, as Christians, that's how we are to walk. We are to walk with a trust in God's knowledge. And Jesus is saying, what I do, thou knowest not. But you'll know hereafter. But Peter, instead of grasping this truth, reacts in his usual spontaneity and impulsiveness. Peter had not yet read James, where he said, slow to speak. That hadn't come to his mind, but he impulsively and spontaneously replies to Jesus. And he responds, thinking such a humble thing being done by the Christ himself on him, a sinner, was absurd, saying, "Thou shalt never wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet, Lord. This is absurd. You, the Christ?" Now, perhaps Peter expected some recognition by Christ due him because of what seemed to be an act of humility on Peter's part, an admission that he was not worthy to have his feet washed by the Christ. Perhaps Peter was thinking the Lord would welcome this. But this was not to be, for instead of recognition, Peter was rebuked. And he was rebuked by strong, pointed words of our Lord. For Jesus powerfully said, "Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now absorb this statement carefully. For this was said to the same Peter who had earlier identified Jesus as the Christ. This is the same Peter. This is the Peter who was part of the inner circle of disciples. But Peter, hearing those words of Christ, those strong words, saying, "If I wash not your feet, you'll have no part with me," again, Peter is astounded and he says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's the consequences of me refusing my feet, take all of me." And Jesus said unto Peter and his disciples, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." These are the words of Christ to Peter. "You're clean, Peter, but not all." Now this last phrase, "but not all," most likely referred to Judas, who had already left. Or who was there. He leaves by the time we get to John 15. He's gone. But he's there. But the point here is that for believers, Jesus communicates that there are dire or dreadful consequences to not submitting to the washing of the Word. These are dire consequences. Would you not agree? "You'll have no part with me if you don't let me wash your feet." Now, the foot washing recounted in John 13 is the physical demonstration of what is to take place in the life of believers. Christ was physically demonstrating what is to take place in our lives. Now, does Christ come and gird himself and pour water in a basin and wash our feet? No, but this was a physical demonstration of something that was to take place in our lives. For to maintain fellowship with Christ requires a daily submission to God's Word, which will bring washing and cleansing. Peter said, "No, you can't have my feet," is the same as, "No, you can't have me, Lord. I'm not going to wash with your Word on a daily basis." Peter refused his feet, and Christ quickly, without delay, and in no uncertain terms, told him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now that's dire if you're a believer. Dire or dreadful consequences, for they mean separation from Christ. Now, there is nothing here about Peter losing his salvation
For this applies to Peter's time on earth. It applies to Peter in his natural body, for in one's natural body, there is always a need for daily cleansing. This will cease in heaven. There's no need for daily cleansing in heaven because we're not walking the dusty trails of this earth. But there's always a need for daily cleansing, herein expressed in a physical way by Jesus Christ washing the feet of his disciples. Now the message is, our feet get dirty and require a daily cleansing, not by ourselves. Now here's the other lesson. We're not the ones to clean ourselves. Jesus is expressing that. But we're to be cleaned by Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Now, Jesus Christ is telling Peter in this passage that fellowship with him requires Peter to submit his feet to Jesus Christ. What a lesson that is for us. Peter must submit his feet that have gotten dirty that day to the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, so the Word of God can wash off the dirt of the daily walk. Now, Peter, this is not simply confession of sin and God's forgiveness. This is not just that. Peter, it is a searching out of the Word of that which leads you and me into sin. Peter, it is allowing the light of the Word of God to do a work of grace in your heart. Let the light in, Jesus is telling Peter, and search out those ways in your heart that are your ways, ways that are not God's ways. You know, your ways aren't God's ways, and God's ways aren't your ways unless you trust Him and follow and walk in the Word. Now, this is the attitude of the psalmist in 139, 23, and 24. This is submitting your feet to the washing of the Word, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You know, who can know his heart, the Bible says. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. So when Peter submits his feet to Christ for washing, he is saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is a daily searching. This is a daily submission. And this is what Jesus was demonstrating by the act of foot washing. Jesus saw feet that needed cleaning and did not tell his disciples to go wash them, but instead he washed them. Oh, how important that is. That is why it is so important to daily study God's Word so God can do the washing away of the dirt of our daily walk. Who washes the feet? God. Who washes you? God. Now, God does not take us away from the dirt of this world. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that God doesn't separate you from the dirt of this world? As long as we are in the world, our feet will get dirty. Now, that happens every day. Every day I look into the mirror and I gasp in horror. I've got to do this again. I've got to take care to do something with this face and this body. Yes, every day I have to tend to it. And Jesus is telling us you need to tend to it by submitting yourselves to the Word of God. Now, God knows that that's true. He's put us in this situation, but He has provided a remedy to remove the dirt, and that remedy is the Word of God. Now, the opposite of that is, if you don't avail yourself of the washing of the Word and your feet continue to be dirty, and fellowship with Jesus Christ is broken. I mean, you can see it in society when you're near someone that hasn't bathed lately. Fellowship is broken. You know, you kind of like to move aside, move away. But you'll have no part with Christ, he says. And then he says, he that is washed signifies the washing of the whole body. He that is washed means he has been bathed, that is, his whole person has been cleaned. He is saying that acceptance in the beloved person of Jesus Christ requires a full bathing of the whole person. That's what takes place when we're in Christ. We're bathed. The whole person is bathed. We're a new creation. But because we are in the world, there is a partial cleansing that must take place because of the daily walk the believer makes in the way of this world. Our whole body is washed, but each day there needs to be a communion with God saying, here's my feet, wash my feet that I may have fellowship. So a partial washing must take place to keep our spiritual affections strong. You know, do you have spiritual affections for Christ? John has this same message in 1 John 1:6 when he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what do we do? What are we saying? We're lying. It says we lie and do not the truth. God says you can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with me, and he just told that to Peter. In other words, if we say we have fellowship with him and have dirty, unwashed feet, we are lying to ourselves. Oh, you know how common it is to lie to ourselves, to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Get into the Word and see your dirty feet. So Jesus is telling Peter, I expect you to maintain continual dependence upon me if we are to maintain fellowship. That's a continual dependence on him. Now, the road of this life is rough. The road of this life is dusty and dirty. And I know that in your own strength, you cannot wash anything away by yourself. Most of the world tries this. Most of the world tries to turn over a new leaf, change this. But Christ is saying you can't do it. Cleaning the road will not maintain fellowship. God says, I do not intend to clean the road. You know, you'd think, well, if we don't, that's the solution to the world's problem. The problem with you is with dirty feet is you got a dirty road. Clean the road. God says, I do not intend to get rid of the dust and the dirt. I do not intend to make the way clean. I do not intend to clean up the road so your feet will not get dirty, and I don't expect you to clean it up either, for the road is beyond cleaning, is the message here. And God says, I don't rebuke you for having dirty feet, for having dirty feet is the way of the world. You know, Christ didn't sit around the table and say, look, it's your dirty feet. What did he do? He got up with a basin of water and he started washing the feet. What a lesson that is to us. I simply expect you to come to me daily, knowing that your feet are dirty and you need them washed by the water of my word. My word will not clean the world. God's word is not going to clean this world, he's telling Peter. My word is intended to clean you every whit. Now that is my plan for you, to maintain fellowship with me as long as you are in the world. That's God's plan right there. And I expect you to submit to me daily, and I will do the washing by the water of the word. That's a departure then from what the world wants to do. The world wants to clean itself up. Well, it's a strange way of cleaning itself up, but they think that they can improve man through technology and through all kinds of things, bring us to nirvana. But God says, I don't intend to clean up the world. I clean up my own. So this is the message of Christ to his own. And that message is again told in chapter 15 by Christ telling his disciples that he is the vine and they are the branches. But in this passage, fruit enters the picture. The passage about the feed was about fellowship. In this passage, it's about fellowship, and fruit enters the picture. For we are told that fruit will not be produced unless the branch is a clean branch in fellowship with the vine. So we have that step. Fellowship, fruit bearing, requires a cleaning of the vine. And Jesus Christ tells his disciples he will not leave them to their own devices, but will enter into the process of cleansing and ensuring that the branch is husbanded to produce fruit. Same message. He is going to enter in to the process of cleansing so that the branch will produce fruit. God is a husbandman. What does the husbandman do? He tends to the vine. He tells them that those branches that are not producing fruit, he will lift up and put them in a place where fruit will come. He's tending. He sees the need. He goes about the business of satisfying that need. He puts the branch in a position where it can bear fruit. And then he looks at the branches that are producing fruit, and he will purge and cleanse them that they produce more fruit and eventually much fruit. You know, we are to be a fruit-bearing vine all of our lives. I'm near the winter. I'm in the winter of my life. But God says, you're still fruit-bearing. You're still to fruit-bear. I expect fruit from you, and I'm going to tend to you. He never says, well, I think I'll put you in the pasture, and I won't tend to you anymore. But he says, you're still going to bear fruit for me. And then Jesus Christ says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This statement tells us that the disciples were connected to the vine. Remember, Judas had left. The disciples there are connected to the vine. The disciples were branches and therefore connected to bear fruit. So all is in place to bear fruit. The husbandman will do his part to ensure that fruit is forthcoming in each branch, for they were clean through the word of Christ. They were newly born branches attached to the vine, attached to the word of God. Their standing was assured. That standing would never change. They were always going to be branches, connected to the vine, because their standing was dependent upon Christ. You know, we're dependent upon Christ. Our standing will never change. Our state will change. Jesus Christ talked to Peter about your state, because their state depended upon them abiding in the vine, for only continued abiding in the vine will cause fruit to come. And then he says this in John 15:4, where he makes this very clear. Abide in me. Where it uses that word, abide in me. Stay close to me. Stay dependent upon me. And I in you. I will stay close to you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So here Jesus Christ describes a union. It is the union of the human and divine natures. Believers, then, are branches of this vine. Now, the root is unseen, as a believer's life is hid with Christ. There are many branches, but all meet in the vine. All get their sustenance from the same thing, the vine. All believers get their sustenance from Christ. Now, he says the vine cannot bear fruit without a branch. And the branch cannot bear fruit without the vine. A union for production of fruit. You know, God has chosen to make both necessary to fruit bearing, giving his children the gift of being a co-laborer with him. Have you absorbed that truth? That God has chosen to make us co-laborers with him. He didn't need us. He could have produced fruit without us, but he's given us that privilege of being co-laborers with him. Abide in me, and I abide in you. This is a must for fruit bearing. The branch is attached to the vine, but there must be a continuous flow of nutrients from the vine to the branch. You see how that flow takes place? The washing of the word, the communication of the word, the absorption of the word. It's all communicated in this example. The branch is totally dependent upon the vine for daily sustenance if the branch is to not only live, but to live and bear fruit. You see how important it is to abide in the vine. Remember that Jesus Christ said in John 6:56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." The vine takes in the water and the nutrients from the soil and processes it and sends it to the branch. The branch consumes the food and water it receives from the vine. In essence, what's taking place here is it eats the vine's flesh and drinks the vine's blood, and only by this process the branch lives and bears fruit. You see how important it is to daily feed on the word, to daily be washed by the word. Otherwise, you wither. The vine is ready to send the proper nutrients to the branch, but the branch must abide in the vine for this to take place. This fellowship of the branch with the vine is the only way the branch can bear fruit for the husbandman. Without this fellowship, without this connection to the branch, you cannot bear fruit for God. Now, you may think you're bearing fruit, and the world thinks it's bearing fruit. But Jesus Christ says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Any so-called or pseudo-fruit of the branch that comes apart from this fellowship is not accepted by the husbandman. A lot of fruit being made in the world, so-called fruit. But God is saying, "I reject that fruit." You know, every orchard has a fruit inspector. And every piece of fruit is examined. And much of the fruit is cast away. So it's pseudo-fruit. It's fruit that's not supplied by the husbandman. Now, the questions to Christians is, are you bearing fruit for God, or are you bearing fruit for yourself? Are you abiding in the vine, or are you too busy in ways that you choose to serve? But we need to ask the question, as we are so involved in activity of this life, are we too busy to bear fruit for the vine? But God wants fruit in our lives. You know, I think about Mary, who chose to sit at the feet of Christ while Martha served. What an example that is to abide in Christ, where she gained sustenance from our Savior himself. But you know, we're looking for his well done. We're looking for his thou good and faithful servant. And he'll say that to those who bear fruit for him. Psalm 92, 13 and 14 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, God plants his own in his house, and he expects his own to flourish throughout life and to continually bring forth fruit. Older folks, don't be downhearted. Continue to flourish and bring forth fruit. And Jesus continues in John 15, 5, where he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Remember, no fruit, some fruit, much fruit. So he's increasing the fruit bearing. And then he says this again, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, this statement from the lips of Jesus Christ puts all efforts of man in perspective. Because Jesus Christ is life. And without life, you can do nothing. If ye are dead in your sins, you're dead. And a dead person does not make fruit for God, is what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ says that all that is done without him is vain, all that he does. You think about all of the philanthropists in the world who think that as they give away their millions, their thousands, they think they're doing good for God, but Jesus Christ says it's nothing. It's not done in Jesus Christ. Effort done in yourself as a branch is as a branch that is severed from the vine and has no value except to cast into a fire and receive from heat from its burning. A branch severed from the vine is incapable of producing fruit for the husbandman, for it must abide in the vine if fruit is to result. Now, this passage then, and the previous passage in 13, shows once and for all the complete dependence of the believer upon Christ for all fruit bearing. No fruit comes apart from the sustenance of the vine. There are no resources in the branch by which to bear fruit that pleases the husbandman. Now, you may bear fruit that pleases the world, but the message here is we're to satisfy the husbandman, not the world. But the branch simply bears the fruit that the vine produces, and only that fruit satisfies the husbandman. You know, religion has a fruit that it displays, and most think it is the fruit of the vine. But as far as Christ is concerned, he says that it is nothing. For apart from me, or severed from fellowship, you can do nothing. Now that's black and white. That's not a hard concept to understand. It's a concept that the world casts aside. It's a concept that many churches cast aside. It's a concept that many Christians cast aside as they go about serving themselves, thinking that that is fruit that is acceptable to God. But this, again, talks about abiding in Christ, the importance of abiding in Christ. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Those are dire and dreadful words, are they not? Peter quickly responded, wash all of me. And the Lord said, no, Peter, you're washed, but not everything. I have to wash your feet. So submit yourselves to the Word of God on a daily basis, not just confessing your sins, but receiving the water, the washing water of the Word in our lives. You know that verse that says, study to show thyself approved. That's another verse that fits right in here. Study to show thyself approved. That means wash in the Word to show yourselves approved. You all came out and I approve you all for your cleanliness today. There's not a dirty face in the group. And you've studied your face this morning before you came here. And you said, my face is dirty, I must wash it so I can get approved. And that's the same thing in the Scriptures. God wants to approve the branch. And he says, study, abide, stay close, submit yourselves to me, that I may cleanse you, and therefore you can abide in the vine. Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings of the Word of God. We're thankful, Father, that it's so important not to neglect this abiding, not to neglect this submission of ourselves to the washing of the Word. Help us, Father, as a Sunday school class, as a member of the body of Christ, to submit ourselves on a daily basis, that you might wash us, and that we might be clean, and that we might produce fruit based upon the sustenance of the vine. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.